Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Jack Kavanaugh. He is the leader of National Geographic Expedition's new book. This is called Always Ireland, an insider's tour of the Emerald Isle. It is available everywhere, and it's just a fantastic travel guide, history book, photograph book, as you can expect from Nat Geo. And so, Jack, I love the idea of traveling to Ireland. It's one of the things I think a lot of people here in the United States, especially in the community where I live that has a high percentage of Irish Catholics, always dream of, I'm going to travel to Ireland someday, a bucket list type of thing. But the way you've got this book put together, it's a little part of history, photography, and travel guide. Is that sort of what you were going for?
It is indeed. Thanks for having me, Brian. It's lovely to be with you. It is. It's not a traditional travel guide, and people are a little bit surprised when they open it up. But the reason is that all that kind of good information you need to travel, the practical stuff, is online now, really. It's kind of gravitated online, and you can go and you can do your bookings and get your maps and everything there. So we kind of thought of Always Ireland as more of an aspirational travel book, if you like. So I like to call it a dreamer's guide to Ireland. It's that kind of book that you buy maybe 6 months before you go, and you pick it up and you dip into it now and again when you want to daydream about Ireland. As you said, you know, a lot of Americans dream about going to Ireland. So you can pick this up, you can dip into it, you can read a little bit about history, a little bit about culture. There are recipes in it for the food of Ireland, tastes of Ireland. You can plan a drive, what to expect, some off-the-beaten-path tips, that kind of thing. So it's a daydreaming book, if you like.
Well, if somebody was to go to Ireland, and I look at it, and it's all very identifiable by county, and I think a lot of people know that from hearing that, you know, I'm from whatever county in
Ireland.
Whatever,
yeah.
But
yeah.
How big is Ireland just to travel as far as if I was to go to Dublin, say, does it make sense that I could travel through a lot of different places in Ireland and capture the country in a week or two?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the great things about Ireland that I always say to people. It's so easily navigable. I don't know exactly how maybe half the size of New Jersey, shall we say, like, it's about that size. I'm going there next month with a man from Ohio, and we're going to base ourselves in my hometown of Bray, which is in County Wicklow. It's just south of Dublin on the east coast. And the lovely thing about it is you can get in the car, and you can be anywhere within 6-7 hours. You can be in most places within 2 or 3 hours. So it's really, really easy to get around. It's, you know, 90 minutes up the highway from Dublin to Belfast, for example. So it's one of the easiest places to go in terms of destinations. It's also got great roads as well, and, you know, which is great for Americans. All the signs are in English, and it's very easy to get around. And I always say to people that one of the best things about Ireland are the people. So I actively encourage people to get lost in Ireland, because you have a good excuse then to stop and ask somebody the way. And the conversations that will ensue from that are great. You know, I've met some great people just wandering around Ireland doing this book.
Is every part of Ireland have a little bit of taste of the music, the literature, and the culture? So if you were to go to one area of Ireland, the ancient East Coast or the West Coast, are you going to get that same flavor everywhere?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That's the amazing thing. I'm very, very small, you know, but it's so diverse in terms of, as you say, there's 32 counties, so you can get 32 different accents. And that applies to something like music as well. Like, there's a difference between a fiddle player from Donegal and a fiddle player from Clare and a fiddle player from Kerry. Just slightly the way they differentiate notes in that. If you have an ear for this kind of stuff, you can say, oh, yeah, that's a Kerry fiddler, or that's, you know, he's from Donegal or whatever. But no matter what your interest is, you will find places to visit to satisfy that interest. To give you an example, in Dublin, one of the first places that we bring our tour groups for National Geographic expeditions is a tiny little room called Sweeney's Pharmacy in Dublin. And it appeared in James Joyce. The hero, Leopold Bloom, goes in to buy a bar of lemon soap for his wife. So it was actually a pharmacy for years, and then it was about to close, I think about 20 years ago, and a group of people got together and kept it open as a James Joyce museum. So you can go in there now, and the man who runs the place there, PJ Murphy, great character, great Dublin character, he will play songs from that era of Ulysses, and he'll do readings from Ulysses and from The Dead, Joyce's other book. And you can have this very, very special introduction to Irish literature, to James Joyce, in this really, really small little room. It's magical, you know, little things like that, little places like that. If you like music, you can go to Doolin in County Clare, which is the kind of spiritual home of Irish music. So to answer your question, yes, it's all there, and it's very reachable. It's all very accessible because of the small size of Ireland, you know.
There's a college town about 300 miles from here over on the eastern side of Iowa. It's called Iowa City, and every June 16th on Bloomsday, they celebrate the James Joyce book, Ulysses, and somebody will, you know, they take turns reading it, I guess, at one of the Irish pubs in town. And can you explain how big Bloomsday is in Ireland on the 16th of June?
Well, it's funny because there's a couple of things about Ireland. First of all, Dublin must be the only capital city in the world which is known not for a beautiful boulevard or a beautiful building or something like that. It's known for a book. You know, everyone goes to the Book of Kells, which is the Bible, basically, but in beautiful form, and people flood into that. But Ulysses is something completely different. And again, Dublin must be the only city in the world that stops for a day, that has a day off, of a feast day, if you like, to fiction. Like, we're celebrating a man, Bloom, who didn't exist. It's not like, you know, celebrating a great patriot or something like that. It's celebrating a character from fiction. And it really is big in Dublin. Everyone gets dressed up in these period costumes. They get together, they follow the path he took around Dublin. I'm sure you know the story. It's just a day in the life of this Leopold Bloom, the wandering ad salesman in Dublin, and all he gets up to. So you go into all the different bars like Davy Burns, and you have a gorgonzola sandwich, and a glass of wine, which he had there, and then you go on and you pass by all these places like Sweeney's and the church down the road where the funeral took place. But it's... I don't know what it is. It's hard to describe because it's such an Irish thing, you know, to have this fictional day. And it's lovely because I've done it in Philadelphia here as well, and I've been to one in Washington D.C. And just to be able to read the same book every year and to pick out little parts of it. Joyce's thing, of course, was that he wanted to keep academics busy for the next 300 years by picking it apart, and he certainly succeeded in that. And the other thing, a great quote from Joyce, is that Ireland's revenge on England was to colonize the English language. And I think, again, we've succeeded in that. You know, we've certainly punched our way, above our weight in terms of literature abroad.
I'm chatting with Jack Kavanaugh about his new book, Always Ireland, An Insider's Tour of the Emerald Isle. It is from Nat Geo, and it is available everywhere. One of the other things that I was interested in is reading the book is there seems to be a lot of wide open space in Ireland where you see green, you see animals and things like that. And I think about driving through Iowa where I live, where there's a lot of open space. Has Ireland sort of maintained its identity with those open spaces over the years, or is it getting built up?
No, like everywhere else, there's huge demand for land, particularly around Dublin, you know. When I got back to Dublin now, I left 30 years ago, and it gets more and more crowded, and places that used to be fields are now houses like everywhere else. But the Irish are good at preserving lands. We've got beautiful national parks, and there are wide open spaces. One of the really great things to happen in the last few years was that all the peat bogs off the Midlands are now, they've been harvested for peat for decades. It's how we heated the country, really, from the 1950s onwards, after independence, was you know, the turf fire and the turf briquettes, which is the manufactured version of them. But all those bogs are kind of, they were closed for harvesting, and they've now been resettled into natural parks, where the lakes have been flooded, and wildlife have new habitat, and it's lovely to see, you know, the cycle paths and walking paths and that. So it's opened up this vast area in the Midlands, which tends to get overlooked in Ireland because all the beauty spots are around the coast. But I did find one fascinating place on my travels last year, a real surprise up in Donegal, and it was a place called Wild Ireland. And Wild Ireland is just this natural preserve that is the brainchild of a lawyer from Burnfoot, County Donegal. Killian McLaughlin is his name. Killian McLaughlin grew up, he was just passionate about animals, loved animals, but wondered why Ireland didn't have any of the big animals, you know, when he'd read kids' books and that. And he researched it, and he found that we used to have all these brown bears, wolves, etc. So Killian has now taken it upon himself to create a space to bring all these creatures of the Celtic rainforest back, and he's replanting the Celtic rainforest in this huge area that he's bought up in Burnfoot. And I encourage anyone to go up there. It's an absolute magical day just to see all these. He's got a pack of wolves. He's got the capercaillie bird from the grouse bird from Scotland, which used to be in Ireland as well. He's got a ton of wild animals, and it's just a lovely, lovely habitat, because it's not a zoo. These are roaming within large enclosures, you know. But Wild Ireland, if you get a chance, go up to Wild Ireland and Donegal.
I know every time we hear Northern Ireland on the news here in the United States, it always seems like it involves something about violence. I read your book, and there's so many beautiful areas there in the Ulster area and up in around Belfast. Can you explain, as far as the violence goes, how that meshes with the beauty that's there? Because it seems like a huge political thing that probably not a lot of Americans understand.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a place. I grew up in Dublin, and Belfast is, I think, less than 100 miles away from Dublin. But it really was a different universe for me when I was growing up, because you just couldn't, as a Dubliner, walk into anywhere in Belfast with a Dublin accent without, you know, worrying a lot about it because of the troubles and the divide. But that, thankfully, ceased to be a problem in the late 90s with the Belfast Peace Agreement. And ever since, Belfast and the rest of the north have been slowly recovering in terms of tourism and that. I started going again in, I think, 2015, and I was amazed how friendly it was and how easy it was to move around there. And I've been several times since, and it's just a wonderland, as you say. It's great, a great, great place to visit. And it's got such lovely natural attractions. It's got the Giant's Causeway, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's the whole of that Antrim coastline is absolutely beautiful to drive through. And there are no political troubles now. I mean, the Brexit thing was complicated, but that was a trade issue. It's not. There's no violence there now. Thankfully, we've put the gun aside, and I would encourage anyone to go to Northern Ireland for as well as the scenery, for the people. The people are just great fun, you know. They really have their own dark sense of humor, which I love, you know. Go to Derry, go to Belfast, go to the Antrim coastline. It's part of Britain still, so you get to see another country, but it's Northern Ireland. It's got its own identity, and it is a big part of Ireland, you know.
Well, that's just an amazing book and an amazing compilation of Irish history, culture, and anything else you want to know. The book is called Always Ireland, An Insider's Tour of the Emerald Isle. The book's available everywhere. Jack Cavanaugh put it all together for us. Jack, I thank you for joining us to talk about it.
Thank you, Brian, for having me. It was lovely to talk. Thank you.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.